This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Hanif Baharuddin. You're tuned into the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. You can't deny that we Malaysians are crazy about our food. And if you pay close attention to the food scene here, you'll notice that it has gone through a lot of changes. We have always been appreciative of our food, but social media have injected a different outlook and approach to how we see our cuisines. Suddenly, food becomes a trend that people follow and participate in, whether through posting pictures of their food on Instagram or Facebook, or visiting the little stalls or restaurants that have been shared or made viral on social media. It's an interesting shift that has inevitably given food a more prominent space in our consciousness. So in this episode, let's think about how our food scene has evolved and how trends have influenced the way consumers and food entrepreneurs approach the scene. Joining me to share his thoughts on the subject is Adli Rizal, CEO of Fried Chilis Media, Sendirian Berhad.
Well, I think our food has actually changed a lot. I mean, not only has evolved here in Malaysia, but it's also travelled around the world more. I was actually quite happy to see that some of the MasterChef winners are cooking some of our local dishes and winning with them. So that's how it has actually traveled. 20 years ago when we started, this was unheard of, right? So we are proud about our food, you know. And of course, taste buds changed from last time to now. So last time, you know, we've got all of the char kway teows, the nasi lemak. So, but now you've got the pisang cheese fusions, that's all coming in. But market force always wins in the end of the day. So it's a very interesting evolution from what I started, you know, 20 years back to what it is right now.
We have our own local delicacies that I think the classics, right? At the same time, we also have all these new inventions that are there in the market, right? What do you think of this, like, duality in terms of, like, you know, the classics and also all these new innovations? Do you think that they are competing against one another?
No. It's apples and oranges, my friends. Apples and oranges. So basically, you see, Malaysians are a very curious bunch of people. So that's what makes living here very, very interesting and fun, right? So Malaysians, we like the nostalgic stuff because, you know, nasi lemak is still an all-time favorite among Malaysians. Either you're a closet lover or you outright say that you're a fan. I mean, you're a big fan. The other one is ayam goreng, right? But once in a while or when it becomes viral, you would try something that's unique, something that's different. For example, nasi lemak lobster. I mean, who puts lobsters on nasi lemak? You know, but yeah, you probably want to try just out of curiosity. And kena, sedap lah. Try again. Then you put it on your social media. Then well, then try. And so that's basically what happens. So when we check the trend, sometimes we see a lot of concern. For example, nasi lemak is an all-time favorite. The other all-time favorite is burgers. Malaysians love burgers. Ramly burger ke, gourmet burger ke, street burger, we love our burgers. Kan? But we see spikes, for example, like dulu, remember the cendawan pau? The pau cendawan, you know. So we see spikes. Now dah tak ada. Okay. Right? So it's not there anymore. So now cheese, we've got salted duck egg, something, everything put salted duck egg. But now it's trending down, but it's still there. It refuses to die. Cheese as well. Cheese have been trending for the last 3 years.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing if you think about it. Like, I mean, the fact that we are quite open-minded and quite experimental when it comes to our food, in the sense that we are not scared to experiment, right? But we tend to jump onto trends and bandwagons.
Because we want to try new flavors. We already know how the old flavors taste like. So we go back to the old flavors ever so often. But, you know, to make life a bit more exciting, you know, you try new flavors. It's an adventure. Sometimes you get disappointed. Sometimes you went, hey, okay, durian cendol goreng, okay, man. Maybe the whole thing works out. Yeah, right? So I guess even between some of the food entrepreneurs, they're looking for something that's unique and different. And if it's unique and different, it travels on social media for quite a fair bit. So I think these people, they are looking for that as well. But when viral becomes constant, it's when the product is really great. Kind of like Burger Bakar. Burger Bakar started as a trend. Kau Kau Burger did a tower that's 30 patties high or something like that. But the product is great. So now, although there are many competitors and most of them have died down, but the pioneers are still serving really great burger bakars. Mm. So we have a new invention, a new creation out of some of the virus. So it that's a good and bad.
Mm. I think you're right about this whole notion of how, you know, entrepreneurs also see doing something unique as, you know, as a starting point or as a jumping point for them to boost their business, right? So should innovation in food be done for innovation's sake, or should it be also driven by, you know, pragmatic business decisions?
Right. Well, I think it's both, because I mean you can't stop food from evolving. I mean not just for Malaysia but around the world. You talk about cuisines evolve because palates evolve. All right, so your grandfather's palates and your palates are different. All right, so we basically did a project that looks at rescuing heritage food, kuehs in particular, and we found out that some of the heritage kuehs, the reason why it proposed or it went kind of like extinct because the palates changed, so people don't like the taste of it now. So people don't do that anymore. So they are more used to more sweet stuff or savory stuff rather than some of the old school tastes. So it's very interesting for us to find out. But I think food is like fashion, all right? Then you'll come back a full circle and it becomes trending again, all right? So between innovation, so basically what's happening here is what we see is some of the trends will die, but newer trends will basically come. And, you know, businesses, they always seek for opportunities. It might be an opportunity for them to actually go into this market. So it's innovation and commerce, which is actually what businesses are supposed to be. Mm. Businesses are supposed to innovate. Then only you can basically sustain. So it's very interesting.
Mm. Do you think that it's healthy, though? Do you think that it's healthy for the food scene to be driven by trends and virality and things like that?
Yeah, that's how you innovate. Because if you eat the same nasi lemak for 30 years every day, you get bored. Okay, you want to go back to it maybe once a week or once a month, but you don't want to have it every day. So this gives you a good fair amount of variety in terms of what you eat. So I don't know whether you actually count the varieties of food that you eat. But we basically did a study, and average Malaysian eats 38 different kinds of dishes every month. Alright, roti canai satu. Roti canai telur is two. Nasi lemak goreng ayam. And then char kway teow, laksa. So if you count it all, you easily reach above 20-30. And it's very unique because not a lot of countries can boast that. Not a lot of other citizens of other countries can boast 38 different kinds of average food per month.
Mm-hmm.
Japanese, kan, kebabs. You go to Pasar Malam, you count there how many different red Thai, how many different kinds of pulut bubur, pulut manis, pulut sotong, you know. I'm not even going to the Hokkien and the Hakkas and you know, and all of that stuff. You know, it's reaching 38 is easy.
That's a lot of dishes, right?
Only in Malaysia. You see, so you know, Malaysians don't realize, but Malaysia is actually a very big food haven. We sometimes take it for granted. So that's why I'm kind of a bit angry sometimes with people. Malaysia takes their food for granted because it's so good. And they think that if they don't take care of it, it's going to be there forever. No.
If that's the case, then where do you draw the line between innovating and also preserving? Right? Because let's say, for example, if nasi lemak cheese suddenly becomes a thing.
Nasi lemak cheese, dude!
Who knows, man?
I hope not, man.
Yeah, but what if...
Listeners out there, please do not do nasi lemak cheese.
But see, that's okay, let's rephrase the question slightly differently, right? You know, you talk about innovation being something good, but where do you draw the line when it becomes, you know, a bit too much? Like, nasi lemak cheese something
okay.
That's...
So since you're talking about nasi lemak, I have a good case study for this, right? Okay, So what you want to do is you want to always know, but this is a personal opinion, right? You want to always know what the real taste is like. So for example, if we talk about nasi lemak here, right? So you want to always know what nasi lemak tastes like before you change it into something else, all right? There is a good stall in PJ that does nasi lemak kukus goreng ayam. So they fry the nasi lemak char kway teow style. right? But they also serve nasi lemak. But if you want nasi lemak kukus goreng, you can order it and they'll fry the nasi lemak fried rice style, char kway teow style, and it tastes awesome. Can you think, whoa, this is great. He's been doing this for about 10 years plus. He used to be a chef in Shangri-La, but you know, he quit and he basically does this street side. Can not even in a restaurant, and his queues are long. So, but we always, the people who go there knows what nasi lemak is, but they just want something different sometimes. Mm. That's a way of a good innovation balance between heritage and innovation, right? To me, a bad innovation is when you blow it out of proportion. People think the new one is the old one.
All right? And you don't want to also do it just for the sake of it, right? Because I think a lot of entrepreneurs are also experimenting with that kind of innovation where they, you know.
Yeah, well, when we talk about entrepreneurs, money counts for a lot. So basically, you know, some of them, you know, so if it works out, but what I see is if the product is great, you can't really beat the market for. So the product is great, it will go. If the product is not good, you know, it will be viral for a while, then it'll die.
That was Adli Rizal, CEO of Fried Chilis Media, Sendirian Berhad, sharing his thoughts on the food scene and trends here in Malaysia. We're going for a short break. Stay tuned. I'm Hanif Baharudin, and you're listening to I Love KL on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city. I'm Hanif Baharudin. We're taking a look at the food trend here in Malaysia, and joining me to chart its course so far is Adli Rizal, CEO of Fried Chilis Media, Sendirian Berhad. We ended the first part of the conversation by exploring the trajectory of innovation that has taken place in the scene, and one of the things that we have observed is how easy it is for eateries to go viral these days. Now, is this something that's healthy for the industry?
That's a good question to ask. It's from my observation, we see that the virality helps, but over a long run, it basically hurts the business a bit more. Okay, because if you are used to serving 100 plates of something, then suddenly you get 1,000, 10,000. You can't keep the quality. All right, but I guess this is business. So if you're given an opportunity, you have to seize it. If you don't seize it, then you don't have, you know, you're not supposed to be in business. Okay, that's what I think. So when things go viral, sometimes it gives the entrepreneur an opportunity to promote their stuff more, but they have to get ready for it lah. If they don't, then you know, if they can't keep their taste consistent, then it backfires on them, which is not good for the people who receive the viral news and for the restaurant owners themselves. So it's pros and cons. So to me, some of them has benefited, but some of them have actually gone down the rabbit hole. Mm. And because they couldn't keep the consistency, they couldn't keep the quality.
Should we think about how they should try and learn to negotiate between, you know, dealing with the rise in the number of customers versus maintaining the quality of the food? And also, where can they go next with their business moving forward, right?
It's every business's dilemma. It's called managing growth, all right? But for restaurants, look, in the end of the day, for eateries, the way you manage it, it's simpler said than done. You just have to make the quality of your food consistent. If you make it consistent, I mean consistently good, right? You'll be getting an influx of regulars, right? One. Number two is customer service. So increasingly what we see now is not just customer service, but hygiene, right? So they want street dishes, but yeah, they don't want to be next to the smell. Because when you talk about street dining, part of the experience is the street itself. That becomes part of the ambience. That becomes part of the ingredients of the experience. So if it's smelly and stuff like that, yeah, that's not going to be very hygienic. That's not what they want. But if you manage to keep it all consistent, that's how you manage your product should speak for itself. Then it'll get the word. It'll get the traction out.
Mm. We talk about innovation a lot. But do you think that maybe it's not necessary in some cases? Like, I mean, as much as we should be thinking about innovating our food and dishes, should we also sometimes think about, you know, leaving it as is?
Yeah, look, some of my nasi lemak sellers have been selling the same recipes for 30 years. All right, so, but those who are doing it for 30 years are not going to change the recipes. It's the younger ones that's actually doing it different. All right, so you don't see, for example, when you talk about a famous Kuih Keria place in Melaka, they're not going to change it and put cheese on their Kuih Keria, right? So people want that flavor. So that's what's great about Malaysia. There are places that you can get the original, authentic flavors. And there are certain, you know, if you're feeling frisky, you're feeling adventurous, there are other places that you can go to try different foods. So, for example, now in Malaysia, you've got handmade pizzas that was unheard of maybe 5, 6, 7 years, only a handful of people. Now you have sourdough pizzas. Okay. People don't understand what sourdough-based pizza was 5, 6, 7. Now they know perfectly. Like, oh, shit, I didn't know that you have this. So there are places for certain authentic things and there's certain places for playful things.
Mm. And we're a bit more accommodating to both these days, right?
Yeah, because we have a very... Malaysia has got a very sophisticated taste palette. All right, because there's, we are not a single race country. We are multi race country. We eat each other's food, so our taste palates are higher. We have a higher taste buds profile. We like a lot of flavors, and we can handle different flavors. Mm. Certain countries they cannot handle spicy. Certain countries cannot handle curries, but we can handle everything.
Mm. Okay. I'm also quite curious to explore how our food culture has sort of like proliferated, especially in a place like KL, because you could argue that KL is a melting pot of culture, right? So do you think that KL has done well in terms of centralizing a lot of like Malaysian food and dishes, especially dishes from other states?
All right, I wouldn't call it centralizing. I think what happens is it basically happens by accident. So basically there's a lot of immigration from other states into our capital for work, for families and stuff like that. So basically when they're here, they start cooking their own state dishes. So Malaysia or KL, like you said, becomes a melting pot of different dishes. So it's probably better in the own states, but you can actually get a variation of that in Kuala Lumpur. Mm. Right. So that's actually what has happened from what I think.
Malaysians are very proud and quite passionate about their food, right? But how well have we done in terms of marketing our food, especially internationally? Do you think that we have done well?
All right, yeah, it's very hard because a lot of people around the world, they're not as food mad as we are in Malaysia, you see? Because, you see, when we're having a breakfast, we ask, hey, what are we having for lunch? What are we having for dinner? I mean, it's very unique to countries like Malaysia to basically have this. In terms of promotion, I think what's actually happened here is we're very proud of our food, but when you talk about promoting, we need to basically have a very, not to say structured approach, but there needs to be a will to really promote our food out there. And I mean, when you talk about Thailand, right, when they wanted Thai food to be part of the world gastronomic culture, the Thai government was involved in this, all right? And so is Thai Airways. Correct me if I'm not wrong, but there was a time that if you want to fly any herbs from Thailand to anywhere around the world, at any of the Thai Airways routes, you can fly them discounted by Thai Airways or by the Thai government. So they have a very constant, they have very structured effort, very ambitious effort. All right, that's one. When you talk about, even Korea, when you talk about K-pop, everybody knew that K-pop doesn't just come down from the sky. It's a framework by the South Korean government together with Hyundai and some of the other stuff. And they did a proper framework to push the culture out. So if Malaysia is serious about promoting our culture, it's not just the brand ambassadors, but the governments, agencies, everybody has to, we have to put ourselves out there to really make it really, really work.
Mm. And that's what lacking for now, right?
Yeah, that's not yet. I would rather say not yet.
Okay, fried chilies have always been at the forefront of, you know, thinking and promoting Malaysian food. So do you have any upcoming events?
So for our part, what we do is we basically do food events, apart from the regular updates on where to makan, we did events such as Aid Nasi Lemak with 18,000 people and 40 different, you know, Nasi Lemak sellers that's coming from all over Malaysia to one spot. That was crazy. We did a burger event that consists of Ramly Burger, Gourmet Burger and Burger Bakar all in one spot. That was a major hit as well. So last year was Ayam Legend, where we bring all of the best ayam goreng sellers all in one spot. So this year, what we're doing is we are having an event in Cyberjaya where we bring some of the best, not only hipster or upcoming food entrepreneurs in one spot, but we're marrying them with the best curry pubs in Malaysia together with kuih. All right, because that's a very Malaysian thing to do. And we have a business talk segment that looks at if you want to open your own food business startup, what can you do? So we've invited some of the experts to basically the familiar fried chicken people, you know, that started out with a small kema beside the road, you know, and how they've grown into a business right now. So that's the event that we are having on this 28th of September in Rekascape, Cyberjaya.
Okay, I can't let Adli go without getting his recommendations on some of the best spots to eat here in town, right? So here are his recommendations.
Okay, so if you want a really great streetside gourmet burger, right, one of my favorite spots is 60 Bites in Taman Tun. They're just a stall tepi jalan, but you know, they serve really good burgers for less than, maybe for a single patty, less than 11 ringgit, which is actually a good buy. Okay, the other one, since we are talking about nasi lemak, I can say that if you want really good nasi lemak goreng ayam, then you should visit, you could Google for nasi lemak ayam goreng Chef Fauzi. It's at, I think if I'm not mistaken, it's in PJ State, somewhere near the old bus terminal there. You see, it's just a food truck in the middle of nowhere. That's where you can discover some of the nice gems. Can support our local homegrown food entrepreneurs. That's what I say.
You've been tuning in to I Love KL, and this week we've been taking a look at our food scene and trends, and joining me for that exploration is Adli Rizal, CEO of Fried Chili's Media, Sendirian Berhad. Now that conversation is proof of how much we love our food, and what better way to show our love than to unite and sign a petition to pressure Netflix to run a video on Malaysian food that we will produce as part of their street food series. Go to www.bersatuformakan.my to find out more and to also sign that petition. If we can bersatu for makan, we can bersatu for anything. And that's all we have for this week's episode of I Love KL. If you miss any part of the show, you can check out the podcast at bfm.my/ilovekl, our app, which you can find via Google Play or the App Store, and also Spotify. Don't forget to also follow the station on Twitter at BFM Radio. My name is Sanif Baharudin, and you have been tuning in to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Join us again next week, only on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.